sọ bàbí rẹ, kò sí bàbá bí rẹ, kò má sọ lọ́rùn bí rẹ.
Ìgbé.
Kò sọ bàbí rẹ, kò sí bàbá bí rẹ, kò má sọ lọ́rùn bí rẹ.
Ìgbé.
Kò sọ bàbí rẹ, kò sí bàbá bí rẹ, kò má sọ lọ́rùn bí rẹ.
Ìgbé.
Kò sọ bàbí rẹ, kò sí bàbá bí rẹ, kò má sọ lọ́rùn bí rẹ. Yeah.
world. Let's sing together. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Oh, we praise you this morning. We praise you, God.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Praise you, Lord, this morning. Hallelujah.
Father, we praise you. We worship and we adore you. We are truly thankful for the life that you've given to us and for the protection that we have received from you. If the enemy had his way, we will not be here. But Lord, in your loving kindness and your tender mercies, you've kept us. You've sheltered us. You've directed our steps and our path. And evil has not befallen us, for your grace is sufficient. You are a King, worthy of all worship and adoration. We thank you, Lord, for open doors, opportunities, and the grace and ability to go through those doors and opportunities that you've set up for us. We thank you, Lord, that our path is lit and life flows in us. We thank you, Lord, for divine prosperity, for divine health. We thank you, Lord, for favor, for peace which passes all understanding. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness revealed unto us. We thank you for mercies. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to have you this evening for our time together in the Word of the Lord. Day by day, God gives us the grace to experience Him, and we must not take any day for granted. There are people that saw this new day with us, but are no longer here with us. They've stepped out, but grace has kept us, and we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful that we're in this nation. Bombs are not falling all over the place, and people being shot all over the place. We have some semblance of peace here, and we should be thankful for it. We thank God for our leaders and pray for them that they will do right by the will and word of God. Well, we are studying through the book of Proverbs. We are in the 16th chapter. And I believe today we will continue from the 17th verse. The 17th verse says, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil." The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. What a powerful word. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Well, verse 6 tells us about departing from evil. And it says in verse 6, it says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." Now, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, colon. And then it says, "And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." First thing we need to notice in that particular verse is that the fear of the Lord is connected to mercy and truth. By that colon. And here the word of God says the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. So therefore, the highway of the upright, if it is the departing from evil, then the word of God is saying to us that the upright man who is departing from evil is a man who is operating in mercy and in truth. Meaning, therefore, that his iniquity is purged, that's why he's upright. Meaning, therefore, that he has a fear of the Lord. So the highway of the upright is the highway of people who have a fear of God, is the highway of people who are walking in mercy and in truth. God defines these people as upright. And that causes them to depart from evil. They make right decisions. It goes on and says, he that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Who is this that keepeth his way? Well, the one that is preserving his soul keeps his way. But what way? The way of fearing God. Having a reverence for God, the way of walking in mercy and in truth, either applied to oneself or extended to others. In fact, the Word of God says that mercy and that truth must not depart from you. In chapter 3, around verse 3 or 4, of Proverbs 3, he says, Verse 3, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Don't let it forsake you. It says, bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. The word of the Lord says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. If out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak, and our righteousness is based on our confession, then this departing from evil, this extension of mercy and truth, is something that we are declaring out of our mouths. You have to declare the mercy and the truth of God into your life. The truth of God becomes your standard. Not society, not what people think, not what people think is acceptable. What does the word of God say? That is the truth. So the measurement of my walk is based on what the word of God says, not what I feel, not what I think, not what I suppose or presume. What does the word of God say? What does the word of God say about morality? What does the word of God say about marriage? What does the word of God say about my emotions? What does the word of God say about finances? What does the word of God say about any issue? That's what I need to connect with. That becomes the truth. And if I am not up to that truth, I draw on the mercy of God and say, God, have mercy on me. I'm not where I should be. I need your help to measure up with what your truth is. Because the standard of that God holds for us is not the standard of the world. He says, be ye holy because I'm holy. God holds you and I to the standard of his holiness. Now that's challenging for us, but it's not challenging for God. Because God believes and knows that it is he that is living in us. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So my ability to walk uprightly is not founded in my capacity. It is founded in his capacity, who is the truth, and who is the way, and who is the life. Now let's look at that verse again. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. So ultimately, that upright one is the one who is living inside of me, and he's the one who helps me to depart from evil. And he that keepeth his way, the way of the upright one, preserveth his soul. He that follows the Lord will never perish. Praise God. So God not only tells me what I need to do, he gives me the opportunity to understand that he's going to live that upright life in me and through me. So that's my place of surrender, surrendering to his grace, to his mercy. When you think about life and the challenges of it, you and I can easily be overwhelmed and wonder how we're going to do this, how we're going to do that, and how am I going to accomplish this, and how am I going to accomplish that. But when we understand that he's the one living the life in us and through us, we chill out, we rest, and watch God do the God thing through us. Now, it goes on and says to us, pride goeth before destruction. Pride goeth before destruction. And an haughty spirit before a fall. What is the connection between that and the previous? there who high of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. This is God's way of saying to us, listen, you can't do it yourself. So I don't want you to go there and start acting like you're all that, and I did it my way, and I departed from this evil because I was so whatever. No, no. Once you start thinking that way, you're setting yourself up for destruction. The Word of God says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of it is destruction. The Christian walk is not based on human strength and ability. It is founded on the solid rock of you and I being obedient to the directives and guidance of the Lord God Almighty, who leads us as our good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, yes. But the shepherd leads or directs his flock. What is it that we do? What is it that God has assigned to us to do? It is to obey. What is the obedience? My surrender. The surrender of my will to the will of God. That is my obedience. God, this is what you want. That's what I'm going to do. But it's qualified by this. That's what I'm going to do by your strength, by you helping me. I'm going to live this way by your help. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be our helper. And when we mess up, the Holy Spirit is there to be a comforter and says, okay, it's all right. Get up, let's keep on going. This is how we depart from evil. We're never going to do it in our own strength and ability. Pride goes before destruction. And let's understand that pride is coming into agreement with the will and word of God. When you go against the will and the word of God, or you think you know better than God, you're operating in pride. Humility is you coming to agreement with whatever God is saying. Say, God, you're right. I'm not debating this. I'm not arguing this. You're right. Now, then it says, and an haughty spirit. An haughty spirit. What's a haughty spirit? A haughty spirit is an arrogant spirit. When you're arrogant, you have a haughty spirit. When you think too much of yourself, you have a haughty spirit. When you're operating in pride, you have a haughty spirit. It says it goes before a fall. Before any man falls, that sense of I'm all that comes in. You cannot give room to that. No matter how important and special you may think you are, and people may think you are, you must have this understanding. If it were not for God's grace, God's mercy, I will not be here. God has made this possible for me to be in this state. So you do not exalt yourself or think more highly of yourself than you ought to. The thinking highly of myself must be based on what God says about me. God thinks I'm all that, and I agree with him. But without him, I'm not all that. Without him, I am nothing. But in him, I'm everything I need to be. Praise the Lord. So it's a balance. People allow themselves based on their achievements to become arrogant. Very, very important because of this, and so on and so forth. And the world will agree with you and say, yes, that's a great man. Yes, that's a great person because of this. That's a good way to fall apart. Whatever it is that we are by the grace of God. You know, this year I'll be celebrating 50 years of ministry. Years is a long time. 50 years of walking faithfully before the Lord. That's worthy of something. But I'll be the first person to tell you this. If it weren't for God's mercy and God's grace, I wouldn't be here celebrating 50 years. If it weren't for God's grace, I will not be here as a believer some 52 years. The trials, the temptations, the whatever has happened all around me through these years, it's only God's grace that maneuvered me through this. So, while people say this or say that, I must always remind myself, this didn't happen because of you. This happened because of God. I remember, see, pride is such an insidious thing. I was, you've heard me tell this story about when I was in India and I was about to pray for the sick, and the Lord says, I don't need your prayers. It's testimony time. I said, that's not how this works, you know. I preach, I pray, then there's testimony time. I said, no, I don't need that. I love them more than you do, more than you can pray. It's testimony time. Now, cut a long story short, the miracles that happened that first night, then we had the day session in the morning, and it was explosive. Tumors just disappearing. Hemorrhoids gone. People that were crippled walking. All kinds of things. And here are these people. India has they have 300 million gods that they worship. Can you imagine? 300 million. Some of them decided that I was going to be another god. So they decided falling down and, you know, giving obeisance and pulling, fighting. No, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. God did it for you, blah, blah, blah. That was one level. But I got home or to the hotel. And after the crusades were all done, and I'm saying to God, I don't want the healing ministry. Why don't you want the healing ministry? Well, because people expect me to perform. What I was saying was, while with my mouth, on one level I was saying, oh, don't worship me, blah, 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 and so forth. Somewhere in there was this sense that it was me that was doing that, or else I would not say to God, I don't want it. Pride creeps in when you are not expecting it. It happens in your thinking, the way you think. All of a sudden now I was thinking, I don't want this because I have to perform. Were you the one who prayed and the miracles happened? No. You didn't pray and the miracles happened. So what part of that was you? None of it. It had nothing to do with me. And yet till today, I see God doing amazing things, miracles, and it's so easy with people to put that on you. Oh, you're such an anointed man of God. That's why this happened. Yeah, maybe so. But the fact is, God did it. Hear the Lord Jesus Christ in John 14. He says, it is the Father that doeth the works. So even the Lord Jesus Christ did not lay claim to the miracles that he was performing. He said the Father did it. But you and I want to, yeah, I fasted and I'm such a prayer warrior. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The devil cannot mess around me because I'm so anointed. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. That's how your head is going to get kicked in. That's exactly how your head is going to get kicked in. You know how many so-called mighty men or women of God have fallen because they allowed pride? And some of that pride came from the accolades of people. Yeah, we should give honor to whom honor is due. That's proper. You cannot receive from a vessel that you do not have honor and respect for. That's true. But you cannot put people in pedestals. And you must not allow yourself to be put in a pedestal. You must always remind yourself, no matter what is happening, this is the doing of the Lord, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Because if you don't, you're going down. You preach one good sermon, now you think, I'm so anointed, praise God, hallelujah. I can handle whatever. You know how many people have started churches that way? And after a few years, they are no longer there. They're corrupted. They are into all kinds of diabolical stuff. They are committing adultery. They have ripped off the church, finances, whatever, because of pride. Pride, pride, pride. Such a dangerous thing. And if it were so obvious, many people wouldn't have fallen for it. And the only way to truly shut it down is to remind yourself always, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. it is Christ that lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by his faith, not by my faith. I'm such a man of faith. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're only a man of faith based on his faith. What God calls you and I to do is to mortify the deeds of the flesh. When you see the flesh coming up, knock it down. Shut it down. The devil said to the Lord, "See all of this? It's mine. You just bow down to me, and I'll give it all to you." I wonder how many things the enemy might bring our way just to get us tripping. Success is good. Prosperity is good. But nothing should take the place of God in your life. We read a passage of scripture like Joshua, where it says, "Meditate on the word of God," and so on and so forth, and you will make your way prosperous. You will make it prosperous. And we forget that it's in the meditating on the word of God that you get to make your way prosperous. How does your way become prosperous? Because in meditating on the word of God, your soul prospers. Your soul prospers. And when your soul prospers, prosperity flows into every area of your life. But too many times, we forget that even the meditating on the word of God, the capacity to receive revelation and therefore be transformed, or the transformation that comes about, happens because of the word of God. It's the word of God. It's not your word. It's the word of God. It's not your positive thinking. It is the word of God. So everything points back to God, because in him is the fullness of life. Everything I need is in him. Paul says, it is in him that we live and move and have our being. It's all in him. You wake up this morning, it's in him. You went to work and you did a good job, in him. Everything, in everything, give God thanks. Give God thanks. Celebrate the goodness of God. Now, when you and I don't celebrate that goodness of God and the awesome things that God has done, and we think of ourselves as nobodies, we're also operating in pride. False humility is just as much pride as it is to be arrogant. Agreeing with God is what true humility is. When you agree with God and you understand who you are in God, then you are able to resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. Not, "I'm so anointed, you flee from me." No, I humble myself in the sight of God. And then the word of God says, then God will lift you up. That's how it works. He says, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. What a powerful verse. Basically, God is saying to us, it's better for you to be in a state of humility and you're hanging around people that looks like don't have much than you hanging around with people that have all this and they are filled with pride. Have nothing and be with God and look like you have everything and not be with God. And God says, choose the lowly life. Choose this. Don't go the way of pride. Why? Because God hates pride. God hates pride. And God will not allow pride anywhere around him. There's not going to be one proud person in heaven or in the New Jerusalem or in the New World. Everybody that has an entrance is a person that has come in humility. You cannot even get saved in pride. You have to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and confess that Jesus is Lord and be on your bended knees to have entrance. But when you have that permission to enter, you have to come boldly, to come wimpishly is to be in pride. I hope we're getting this. You and I aligning ourselves with the word of God is humility. You and I going contrary to what the word of God says is pride. You and I deciding that we're going to do it our own way is pride. It is pride to say, for example, I'm going to gather all of this, I'm going to work hard, make all this money, and keep everything I got, and be a very wealthy man without honoring God. That's pride. Right there. Humility is understanding the word of God saying, give and it shall be given unto you. And God will cause all things to work together for your good. That's humility. Pride is focusing on yourself and not on the word of God, the directives of God. You stay true to what God said. For example, God has an assignment for me to do, but I'm part of the body of Christ. Because God has something for me to do, does not mean that I rob God's house to go do my agenda. Because right there, you are moving away from the plan and pattern that God has set up. So what do? I say, God, I'm honoring you in this, but you said for me to do this. So Lord, I'm trusting you for the resources to do this. And that trust in God becomes an act of humility. I'm giving as many examples as I can so we see the insidious patterns of pride. Pride is me looking at my pocketbook to decide every decision I'm going to make rather than looking at the author and finish of faith. and saying, God, what do you want? How do you want it done? Because you see, I may have the resources to deal with a particular thing, but God expects for me to talk to him before I touch anything there that I think I have to solve the problem that I have. In plain English, I have $1,000 in my account. I have a problem that needs $400. Certainly, I have more than enough to solve that $400 problem and say I have $600 left. What does God expect me to do? Just go? No, he expects me to say, Lord, I have this need. I have this. Is this what you want me to use to solve this problem? Or do you have another way? Because he has to train me in the walk of faith. If you have everything you need to solve the problem, then you're not going to walk in faith or by faith. Jesus has a 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, to feed, and all he has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The disciples said, we don't have enough. But Jesus, in humility, gave thanks to God, believing that what he had was enough, because that's what was at hand. Well, at that time, he had 7,000 to feed. He had less, and he had less left over. Because it's not a pattern, it's a matter of reliance. I thank you that you hear me always, but because of these that are standing by. And then he says, Lazarus, come forth. It's reliance in God. Amen? So he says, hang around the lowly. They don't seem to have anything, but they have everything because they have God. Rather than hanging around those that are dividing spoils because they think they have so much. You do that, you're not handling your life wisely. The next verse goes on and says to us, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Oh, I shouldn't have spent so much time talking about the other stuff. It's right there. Handle the matter wisely, you find good. Handle the matter unwisely, you will find evil. How do you handle the matter wisely? Trust God, and you'll be happy. Happy hour? Trust God. I think one day we should have on the signage, it's happy hour, come in. And people will think, oh, we're going in there for some booze. And then we'll tell them, oh, happy hour is about trusting God. Are you willing to trust God today? You're happy when you trust God. Just relax. Trust him. Now, trusting God sometimes is a challenge. Because trusting God does not mean that you have no problems. It's only this, that at the end of the story, the devil will not have won any battles, and you've won. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whoso trusted in the Lord, happy is he. That's the key to happiness. Trust in the Lord. trusting the Lord for every and any aspect of life and living. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. Those that are wise in heart shall be called prudent, wise. And the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. The sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. What is this talking about? What is it addressing? Well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So the wise in heart shall be called prudent because of how they speak. And how they speak is going to engineer increase in information and transformation. The Lord is left in the temple, and he is with the leaders of the day, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes. And he's asking questions and answering questions. Right questions bring you into greater learning, understanding. And how you and I talk allows information to come to us. The sweetness of the lips increases learning. There's information that you and I need. And the only way you're going to get it is how you carry yourself. There are times people come and they want stuff. They want to have knowledge, but there's no sweetness of the lips. Now, this sweetness of the lips is not flattery. It's the acknowledgement of the grace that is in another person's life that causes them to release information to you. How you carry yourself causes information to flow to you. You carry yourself in a rude manner, you're going to be stuck with what you know. You know, there are people that will never increase in learning because they think they know already. They think they know already. You're trying to talk to them about stuff and they're yep, 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 yep. Shh. Hush up. You might find out that, yes, you know some things, but you may also find out that you know what that person knows that you did not know. And you can add that to yourself. But while you are busy yapping and you're presenting yourself arrogantly like you know, you end up not knowing anything. You end up not knowing anything. Because you've already presented yourself as so knowledgeable. If I'm around certain people that have expertise in a particular area, I don't spiritualize and act like I know something because I'm pastor. What do I know about sound? What do I know about hooking up stuff so that it works? Keep your mouth shut. Listen. Ask questions. Be nice. And then you get more. You're rude, you get nothing. Nobody owes you anything. They don't owe you anything. Whatever it is that you get from people is because as an act of their will, they decided to share with you. That's how we grow. Sweetness of the lips. By being thankful. You want to be bossy? Hey, you got to do this. Okay. If they have some information that you need, it's not coming out. They'll keep it to themselves. But when you're nice and kind to people, and you listen to people, they cannot keep it from you. They will go the extra mile to help you. Nobody is where they are without some level of help. There are no self-made people. So I did it by myself, all by myself. Well, you accomplish only what yourself could accomplish. What if you had this assistance of others? Maybe you fulfill your mandate. Maybe you get there. Maybe the answers of life will be revealed to you. If the Lord Jesus Christ needed help, what makes you and I think that we don't need help to fulfill our destiny? I'm a man of faith. I will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. I don't need nobody. I'm just going to, after all, he said, whatever I say, I'm going to get. But watch the next verse. See, if you've got issues with people, deal with that. Deal with that issue of forgiveness. Deal with it. You can't carry a haughty spirit and experience the goodness of God. It's limited. There's so much that we can do. One shall chase 1,000, 2, 10,000. There's an exponential factor in having that sweetness of lips that increases learning, brings you to a deeper understanding. Actually, verse 22 says, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. When you're increasing in learning, you're increasing in understanding and becomes a wellspring of life to you. Wellspring. I was talking to a dear man of God earlier today. I've not met him physically. Just heard about him. And he's been nice to me and wants to help me with this and help me with that. And I'm thinking, huh. Interesting. Never met this guy, but he's been so nice. Niceness does not just happen. How did I get to meet him? Somebody else that he respects and honors introduced me to him and said, calls him to call me. Because I have something that I needed. Well, understanding these principles of life, become a wellspring that keeps on feeding on itself. Nobody's an island to themselves. And when favor comes into your life, make certain that you don't mess it up. Because it just takes one thing and everything is thrown off. If I had a white page or sheet held up before you, and I put a dot, a black spot somewhere on that white sheet, the thing that you will see more than all of this white sheet is that black spot. All the good that you and I do, as good as it is, can just be messed up with one little thing. That's when you and I need to understand the principle of mercy and truth. Say, God, help me to extend mercy to people, not just to see the dot, but see the other aspect of them. See the other aspect. When you and I grow in that, it continues to be a wellspring of life to us. Let's wrap up with this second aspect of this verse. It says, but instruction of fools is folly. That segment has many facets to it. Remember, we're increasing in learning by the sweetness of our lips. We increase in learning. And understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. Well, the word of God says here, but the instruction of fools is folly. In essence, God is saying, with all that sweet talk, know where you are getting your increase from. You can hang around fools, speak nicely to fools who are proud and arrogant, and the end of it is going to be foolishness. Good example is Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. He asked his wise men, what should I do? This is what the people are asking. They want me to reduce their taxes and the burdens on them. You know, what should I do? And wise elders say to him, yeah, that's what you should do. You know, your dad had all this stuff in place and the people need a break. Okay. He goes and talks to his peers and they say, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's not what we're going to do here. You think what my dad did was like this finger here? Well, what I'm going to do is this lap. I'm going to put more on you. Why did he do that? Because that's what his friends told him to do. You're the big guy now. You're in charge. If you start folding and listening to them and doing whatever it is they want, they're not just going to ask you for a mile. They're going to take 10 miles. So put your foot down, man. Put your foot down. You're the king. You're not just a prince anymore. You're the king. You're the king. Hail the king. Hail the king. So Rehoboam followed his friends. And the end of it was disaster. Sometimes you keep your ears peeled, listen. Just do the right thing. Because sometimes what looks like the wise thing to do might be the most foolish thing you do, because you're hanging around fools. When you hang around fools, foolish talk becomes wise talk to you. And the decisions you make become totally evil and wrong. So what instruction am I following? The instructions that bring better learning and understanding? Or am I hanging around outright foolishness? Because I've been listening to the instruction of fools. Who is the fool? The one who says there's no God. So you're hanging around people who have no regards, true honor for God. You're going to make wrong decisions. Who is the fool? The one who comes, hears the word of God, but doesn't do it. You're hanging around people who are not doers of the word of God. They're forgetful hearers and not doers of the work. Who are the fools? Religious people. They build their whole life around rituals. That's foolishness. Who is wise? The one who's plugging in there, listening to the word of God, has his lips speaking sweetness unto the Lord in his worship and adoration, speaking sweetness into the lives of people around him or her, and causing them to open up and sharing treasures. That's wisdom. It becomes a wellspring, keeps on bringing out goodness, unstoppable. May that be our story, that we are walking uprightly before God, in reverence in Him. We're departing from evil, walking uprightly, allowing mercy and truth to take reign in our lives, binding it to our hearts, writing it on the tables of our heart, so that out of the abundance of our heart, we keep on speaking life and not death, hope and not defeat. Amen? Praise God. That's where we'll stop tonight. And let me just read verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Wow. Incredible. Fill this heart with the word of God. Wisdom will come out of it. Sweetness will come out of it. Victory will come out of it. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. Lord, we just don't want information. We want transformation. Let your word be activated in us at all times. Let your word take root in us, bearing much fruit. You love us. You chastise us because of your love, so that we can change and embrace truth, life, the way. And tonight, we're asking, O God, for a transformative work of grace, that your peace will garrison our hearts. And yes, Lord, that your will be done in us and through us for your glory and honor. This we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, bless you. Thank you for coming to this time of study of the Word. Our next time together will be this Friday. It's going to be a powerful time together. Come ready to pray. Let's experience God in a very real, tangible way. Let's continue to pray for the peace of God in our world. There's a lot of turbulence. I'm sure you know what's happening in the Middle East right now. Let's continue to pray for right decisions to be made, because this world is such a small world. Anything happening in any part of the world affects us directly or indirectly. We're thankful that things are not all messy right now. We don't want it to be messy. And let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem.